Welcome back to the Carolina Chronicles podcast. Today we're continuing our conversation with Kim and Stephanie, talking about Elder John Birch and how he influenced not just his community, but ultimately the entire country. So, here we go.
Let's talk about Elder John now. Kim, you were talking about, tell me again about Elder John. List his accomplishments. One of those boys. Yeah. Now that's Birch blood. You know he's a Birch boy. Well, you know, this church thing fascinates me because they talked about, and I'm not sure where I picked this up. I don't remember if it was in the PBS special or where it was. It might have been at the church. But Elder John built that initial church. It was a frame building initially. He built that church with his own hands and with his own money.
Yes, right.
And he just, it was a labor of love. And he worked on it and worked on it, worked on it. And then he pastored it.
Uh-huh.
And they had such, yeah, but he initially, now this intrigues me. I'm wondering where this came from, because three of those boys were preachers, and that Elder John and two of his brothers were preachers. So, and then Cora married a preacher, essentially. So you got all four of those kids, Alfred's kids, were somehow in the ministry.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? You know what? I think I remember that from being down at that church. What's the name of, do you remember the name of that church in Chira?
Triumph.
That's
Triumph.
It. That's it. Triumph.
Triumph.
Well, now, what you said, now, Elder John, he was or was not a pastor?
He was,
yeah. He was. Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. But was he not Pentecostal? I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing to me, because, and it is very amazing to me and makes no sense, because all of these different Birch boys, we're talking about six of them, Joseph Jackson, John Sebree, all of them. They all went into the Civil War as cavalrymen. They all came back and came back with their horses, all six of them. That's unprecedented. But the other thing is, I'm not sure if all six of them, but most of them, and I'm getting this from when we were at the cemetery there in Southern Eights, most of them were Freemasons. And that is not Pentecostal. That's the antithesis of Pentecostal. So I'm so amazed. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to tell you, I think Alfred's line did better than the other, than most of the other lines. Let's put it that way. Well, you know what? That was pretty good back then, because when the Methodists started, they were basically Pentecostal when they started. They're not anything like that now, but when they, those Wesley brothers were, so that kind of makes sense. But keep going. Under protection.
From Sherman. They didn't say war. They just took the hand of the horses.
Oh.
At least that's what Melissa told us.
Now, I'm not...
They were thoroughbred horse breeders.
Yeah,
and
I know they...
They sent horses to the army, to the Confederate army. They made sure that they had horses and stuff. It was kind of like payment to make sure that the six sons came home. So they didn't really see the battleground.
Oh. Now, I didn't hear that story. I heard that they were, Melissa told me that they were really fast horses, and a thoroughbred would be. And that was one of the things that made Sherman so mad. They were selling these really good horses to the Confederacy. They did. They did. And I guess that's a pretty good thing for all of us here. We may not be here, but well, let's go back. But see, there's something about Elder John Birch that's so important to the history of South Carolina. And that is, if you go two doors down from Triumph Church back in, I guess, the 20s, they were a Pentecostal church, but Elder John had music. His praise and worship would, I mean... White people would drive up and sit in their cars. They may not dare go in, but they would sit there right on the church property, because back in the day, you had to raise the windows. Nobody had air conditioning. Nobody, not even in those cars. And they would roll the window down in the car, or possibly sit on the hood, who knows. And they would have the windows up in the church, and the music was amazing. They loved it. And people came from all over to hear the music, hear Elder John's music. And Elder, I have in my possession, I was gifted this by my lovely daughter, who sent all the way to England to get it. It was hard to get her hands on. But it is a DVD, because back in the day, Elder John gathered his choir together. They got on a bus. They rode to Atlanta early in the morning. They rented a studio, cut an album. And between the songs, he preaches a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He'll preach a little bit, do a song, preach a little bit, do a song.
Still on YouTube, all his different sermons.
Are they?
Yeah, if you Google Elder John, he comes up.
Google Elder John will do. I did not know that.
Yeah, they have little snippets of it on there.
Well, I love that thing. Well, that's what I was getting to that. He was like two doors down from the church, and he grew up listening to that music. He'd hear him rehearse. He'd hear him play. He heard that music all the time. And I think Elder John actually did some mentoring musically to Dizzy, if I'm not mistaken, by some of the things I've read and seen. And that help Dizzy Gillespie become who he is. So yeah. we have Elder John to thank for that.
The funny thing is, they take good parts of things that they've heard, and they elaborate on that. So
yes.
Growing up, I was always told that we were related to Dizzy Gillespie, when in fact we're not.
Ah.
And I think it's because of that relationship to Lord Bell that they assume that
Probably.
And that could be true. And I have a picture that they sent me. I was trying to figure out who it was, you know, that had my grandmother. They lived in New Jersey. And there was a lady on there, and again, because the families probably were so close, they called her cousin Dorothy Gillespie.
Oh.
And she used to visit them.
Oh. I've seen those. I had an aunt with one of those. I had an aunt on mother's side of the family who was a redhead, and she had a fox stole that was the same color as her hair. Yeah. He did. I'm telling you, he was a blessing. That whole line has been a blessing to South Carolina. And actually, it's a blessing to the rest of the Birch family, too. So I just think I'm just excited to be able to get that information and have it on record. And knowledge is powerful. Now, you were telling me this, just for kicks, you were telling me this last night. You said, because we were talking about Elder John, he owned a restaurant, so he liked to cook, and he had, he built the church, he was a pastor, and Alfred had been educated and obviously had educated his children, and made that was a priority. But then you started telling me the number of PhDs and masters and all the education that's come down that line.
I think Grandpa Alpha would be very proud of what they probably called their struggle to make sure that, you know, they could read and write and understand that from his offspring, his descendants, he has PhDs, he has masters, he has bachelors, he got interior decorators, cooks, people that own their own restaurants, people that are caterers. A lot of entrepreneur spirits are in the family. There are a lot of entrepreneurs. So
very strong.
Very, very, very strong. And they get the support of the family, you know, in whatever endeavors that they have. So we are very, 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 very big on education and making sure that we're educated in whatever we do, whatever business we're trying to get into, yet have that book knowledge and the people behind us saying that we are capable.
There you go. Wow.
We have in their senior year, yes. And we have some that are marathon runners and stuff like that. So, yeah, we have a lot to be grateful for, thankful for.
Yeah.
I think the blessing has definitely run down that line of the family tree. But thank y'all for sharing this today. I just think this is wonderful and interesting. And it affects, it really is the story of South Carolina. I mean, this sort of happened in different places, different times. Some of the struggles are...
Anytime we can just talk and have this fireside chat, it helps us. It helps us.
Oh, good.
I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. It's a story that needs to be remembered. It's powerful. Well, Kim and Stephanie, I love you guys. And thank you so much. And maybe we'll get to talk again soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope y'all really enjoyed that. I always love it when we get to tell family stories. As always, if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at carolinachroniclespodcast@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. Until next time, bye-bye.